Well, thanks, Kevin, for that reading. And good morning, everyone, and welcome to Cross Life Church for this morning. Especially thank you for joining us online, and happy Father's Day to the fathers who are joining us today as well. My name is Michael. I am one of the pastors at this church, and I'm going to be speaking from that passage that Kevin read for us. It is Father's Day today, and so the title of the sermon is A Man of Conviction. We're going to hear about God's call to fathers and to men. To be men of conviction today and what that means. I'm going to lead us in prayer, so please join with me before we head into God's word. Let's pray and ask God for his help. Let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that you set the model for fatherhood. Thank you that you are a perfect Heavenly Father, perfect in faithfulness, justice, and love. Thank you that you instruct and teach us as a father to a child. And we pray that today, as we look into your word, that us men in particular may learn how to be fathers like you. And Lord, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, there are a few phrases and words that when you hear them out in society, you can't help but be suspicious. For example, you're at the shops. Maybe when lockdown ends, you go out into the shopping centres and outside a store, you see a sign that reads up to 50% off everything. I hope you're not fooled by that, because you know that up to 50% off includes such discounts as 0% off. When you read a newspaper headline and it uses the words reportedly or allegedly, or they say it was reported that, it sounds very nice and technical and convincing. But then you think, well, what if I were to replace those words with we heard some guy say this, which means exactly the same. And suddenly it seems a lot less convincing. One I came to understand a little bit more recently was if a news headline is posed as a question, the answer is usually no. Because if the answer was yes, they would just state it and it would actually be newsworthy. The fact that it's a question means they don't know the answer and they're trying to drum up people reading it because it's actually not newsworthy. You see, there are all sorts of words and phrases and statements in our society that should set off that little lie detector in our brains. Today, I want to draw your attention to one more, and it's one that's specifically related to ethics and morality. It's related to right and wrong, and it should raise your suspicions whenever you hear someone say the words, "You don't have to." Whatever follow those words, if people are giving you advice and it starts with the words, you don't have to, that's almost not worth listening to. Because you kind of think about it, like if a person says you don't have to do something, then well, why are you telling me? It might feel good to hear that. You know, we might like to hear that we don't have to do things. It kind of appeals to something in our hearts, doesn't it? It makes us feel good that we don't have to do things. But a person who says you don't have to, without also saying what you do have to do, they might as well say nothing. A person who lives their life only thinking about what they don't have to do has no conviction, has no standards. And the big encouragement that I want to give to the men of our church today is to not be like that. And instead, I want to encourage you men to be men of conviction. And I think this is especially important for fathers, because fathers have the God-given responsibility of leading their families, and it is hard to lead when you don't have convictions. But I think this is important for all men, regardless of whether you're a father or not, because one day you might be a father. And so I want to lay out today what convictions are and why we should have them. And so firstly, what are convictions? Are my convictions just anything that I believe, or is there more to that? Well, let me unpack for you what I mean when I'm talking about convictions. I mean several things. First one, convictions are our deep beliefs about what is good. Other words that we might use to describe that are maybe ideals or principles or values. These are not just things that you do with your life, but things that you deeply believe. I notice that word deep there. These are deep beliefs. They're not just things that you believe superficially, kind of like, you know, oh, I think I know this, but I'm not really sure. You know, I'm open to being convinced otherwise. No, our convictions are at the level of, I am sure of this. I am convinced of this. This is right, and therefore this is wrong. All right, convictions are not fads. They don't come and go with the fashions of the times. Convictions are deep and unchanging. And so man buns are not a conviction. Avocado toast is not a conviction. Distressed jeans are not a conviction. But other things are convictions. A man might be convicted of, for example, honesty and truthfulness, or the necessity of hard work, or the importance of time together as a family, or the truths and values of Christianity, which include all of the above. And I hope that you can see some of these in your farm. Convictions are our deep beliefs about what is good. The next thing that I want to say about convictions, and I might be a little bit rude to say this, but I think it's true, convictions exclude. Now, just to be clear, we don't want to exclude people, even if they do disagree with our convictions. Convictions come out of persuasion. They don't come out of coercion. And so we're not meant to judge or force our convictions on others. And it's possible to disagree with people, even on things that you're convicted about, and still be friends. You know, you can still live and let live. But you've also got to say, though, that there are people out there who will disagree so strongly with your convictions that they won't want to be friends with you, even if you are okay being friends with them. And if you are a man of conviction, you will consider those losses acceptable losses. Because men of conviction know that every time you say yes to something, you also have to say no to something else. And you've got to be okay with that. And men of conviction would rather suffer the loss of relationships than the loss of their convictions. The only alternative to that is to be a person who's just constantly trying to please others, who just agrees with whatever everyone around them believes because they don't really believe anything. It's a person like we saw before, a person who has no standards and no convictions, is always just saying, you don't have to do this. A few years ago, a senior high school teacher in America showed his students a picture in his ethics and philosophy class. It was a photo of an Afghani teenage girl who was forced into marriage with a Taliban fighter. She was abused and kept with the animals. She attempted to escape and the family caught her. They hacked off her nose and her ears and they left her for dead in the mountains. She was rescued by a nearby American hospital. And the photo showed her face with just the hole where her nose should have been. And this teacher who showed this photo, he was trying to get a reaction from his students about what they believe about right and wrong, what their convictions were. But he wasn't prepared for the kind of reaction they gave. The students, they said stuff like, well, we might not like it, but maybe over there it's okay. They said, I don't feel anything at all about that. I see lots of this kind of stuff. Another person said, it's just wrong to judge other cultures, despite the fact that even just saying that is a judgment on a particular culture. You see, that is where no convictions gets you. No convictions gets you too afraid to say anything or anyone is wrong, even the most heinous and obvious crimes. No convictions makes you too desperate to please and appease everyone, even those who demand and approve the most awful things. And it's that state of mind of having no convictions that is most vulnerable to being manipulated by liars and deceivers. The Bible calls that being like a child tossed to and fro by the waves. Men of conviction are not that. Men of conviction are the opposite of that. Men of conviction recognize that convictions exclude and that their convictions will sometimes offend. And I think the last thing which is key to understanding convictions is that convictions create traditions. The word tradition is often seen as a dirty word. Tradition has the idea of people just blindly following whoever they're told, maybe just doing things because that's the way that they've always been done. Now, traditions can have those side effects when tradition is misused, just like all good things can have side effects when they're misused. But tradition at its core is not about just blindly doing things. At its best, tradition is a man's convictions reflected in the regular patterns and practices of their lives. It's just stuff people do all the time that reflects their convictions. Because the stuff that people do all the time shows what their values and beliefs and ideals and convictions are. And it's those traditions that people notice. It's those traditions that the rest of the family notices. And that's how traditions pass on convictions to the next generation. We see that in Deuteronomy chapter 6, the passage that we read today. See, God wants his people to love him with all their heart and soul and strength. He wants his people to love his way of living. He wants them to remember his laws. And God expects that a person's love of God's ways is going to be reflected in what they do. And that's why God says to them, "You shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates." You see, people who are convicted of the goodness of God's ways, they're going to teach them. They're going to talk about them. They're going to hang them up in their houses. You see, traditions based on God's laws are meant to rise up in families. And then these traditions actually pass on convictions, don't they? Because later on in the passage it says, when your son asks you in times to come, what is the meaning of the testimonies and the statutes and the rules that the Lord our God has commanded you? Those traditions are an opportunity for the father to explain their convictions to their sons. Convictions create traditions. And I hope you can see that in your own life as well. You know, maybe in your own life, many of you will have a weekly or fortnightly time with your parents for a meal. That's a tradition, isn't it? And it comes from the conviction that time with family is important. If you have a conviction that meeting with God's people to hear God's word is a way that God blesses and strengthens and equips his people, well, that's going to be reflected in your tradition of going to church every week and pulling the rest of your family to church every week. Those are family traditions that we can see in our families, but there are also personal traditions as well, just our own habits and practices. If you are convicted of the goodness of timeliness and not wasting other people's time, you will be a person who always comes early. If you're convicted of the virtue of honesty, you will tell the truth, even when it hurts. If you're convicted of the blessing and power of God's word, then you're going to read the Bible every day. Those traditions, as well as those big family ones, those personal traditions, are going to create opportunities for you to talk about what you value, what you're convicted about, to the next generation, especially if the things that you do are different from the world around you, because that's what the next generation is going to notice. But if you don't do any of those things, if your habits and your practices and your family life, if they do not show or display anything, well, then maybe you might want to think about that. You might want to think, look, what am I convicted about and how am I going to express that in my daily life? Because convictions are our deep beliefs about what is good. Convictions exclude and convictions create traditions. So that's what convictions are. That's what they do for us. But why should we have them? What's the benefit of them? Well, let me point out three benefits of having convictions. First benefit is that convictions make you strong. The Reformed theologian Hans Boersma says this about our modern culture. He says, "It seems to me that contemporary Western culture looks at the things that we see around us, every created object, as isolated. We typically, in our culture, also look at every event, whatever it may be, as an isolated event, independent of any other event. Everything in our culture is in flux. Everything is unrelated to everything else. We have no anchor, no stability." Now, that might seem like a very kind of airy-fairy, philosophical kind of ideas-based thing to say. It's not really related to reality, but think for a little bit about what it means for a person to not see everything as connected. If everything that you see and everything that you do is isolated and it's not connected to anything else, well, then it doesn't really matter what you do in any given situation because it's not going to affect the rest of your life, will it? It also means there's no big story or big purpose to bring your whole life together. And if that's the case, then you can't be sure of what's right and wrong in any given situation. You see, a person like that who has no connection, no purpose, they can't have any confidence about anything. They will be weak in any position or issue that they weigh into, or they're just going to go with the flow of everyone else. Men of conviction will be the opposite. Now, you saw that in our passage today. They just started with the simple truth that God is one. There's only one God. He's the center of the universe. Everything exists for God. They had a purpose and destination for their lives. They knew that they were made to serve and honor God. They were part of a big story. And because they had conviction about that, those men were able to exercise moral leadership in their families. It's the same with us. If we are men of conviction, then we will be able to speak the truth with confidence. We'll be able to see everything that we do as connected, as part of a bigger story. And that story is going to give us stability, strength, hope, confidence, and truth. And those are all things that people of today desperately need. And for people without an anchor, people without stability, we will be able to be that anchor and that stability for others too. We'll be able to pass that on to the next generation. You see, it's not airy-fairy to just have convictions. Convictions make us strong. The second benefit of having convictions is that convictions make you friendly. This might seem strange, given that we've just said that convictions exclude, but it is actually true. Convictions make you more friendly, and I'll explain why. It's because if you have clear convictions about certain things, those convictions allow you to be flexible on other things. See, if you are confident on what you think is important, well, then you'll be free to disagree or not really care as much about what is unimportant. There are people in this world who, for some reason, they feel like they have to criticize absolutely everything that everyone else does. You know, whenever you talk about something that you're doing, they talk about how that's not good enough or how they're going to do something better. You know, it's not encouraging to be around those people. Everyone else is just not good enough for them. And I think the reason why people do that is because they're not convicted of anything. You know, everything is equally important to them, or even worse, the only thing that they're convicted about is that they are the best, that they are the only ones in the world who are virtuous and good. Men of conviction are able to let things slide. They can be clear on what is important and what is unimportant. And that makes them more friendly on issues that don't relate to their convictions. But when you think about it, having convictions also makes you more friendly, even when people disagree directly with your convictions, even when people disagree on what you do think is important. Because when people challenge your convictions, when people question them, you're not going to be defensive. You're not going to be offended. You know, you're going to be secure enough in your own convictions to not feel like you have to convince people who won't be convinced. We see that in the nation of Israel as well. There's a certain amount of live and let live when it came to the nations around them. And so in whatever situation you're in, convictions make you friendly. And finally, the last reason to have convictions are infectious. A book I'm reading at the moment is called The Benedict Option. It's a really intriguing book, so feel free to ask me about it sometime. I'd love to talk about it. But one of the repeated phrases in the book is, we cannot give the world what we do not have. We cannot give the world what we do not have. Now, you kind of think to yourself, what do you want to leave the world? What do you want to pass on to the next generation? What do you want the world to remember you for? Do you just want to leave the next generation with a whole lot of money? Well, if you do, there's a passage in the book of Ecclesiastes in the Bible that says, chapter 2, verse 18, I hated all my toil in which I toil under the sun, seeing that I must leave it to the man who will come after me, and who knows whether he will be wise or a fool? Yet he will be master of all for which I toiled and used my wisdom under the sun. This also is vanity. There's a pointlessness if you just leave money to the rest of the world. It's not guaranteed to do good. Maybe you want to leave the world with a new invention, a new technology, or maybe some sort of artistic work that people are going to use and appreciate. But just like money, that can be misused as well. Albert Einstein is famous for saying in 1945, "The release of atomic power has changed everything except our way of thinking. The solution to this problem lies in the heart of mankind. If only I had known, I should have become a watchmaker." Some technologies are best left undiscovered. He's talking about the nuclear bomb there. Or if you're going to discover them, you've got to make sure that they're going to be used rightly. You see, money and technology, they're not wrong things. It's not wrong to leave them to the world, but they need convictions to guide them. But the good news is that if we are men of conviction, then what we will leave the world is a next generation of people with convictions too. People will see your convictions in the things that you commit to. They'll see it in the phrases that you say all the time to people. They'll see it in your habits, your words, your practices, and in the outcome of your life as well. Convictions are infectious. So what's the next step for you? Well, if you're a man in this church and you're examining yourself and you're thinking, look, I'm not sure what my convictions are, then I think the best encouragement that I can give you is find your convictions. Convictions can't be forced, remember. There are deep beliefs about what is good, and because they are deep, you can't get them just by copying someone else. But you can get them by listening to someone else and taking on their values as your own from the heart. I'll also say, though, that I think the church is one of the best places in the modern world to work through your convictions, because that is pretty much what we are about. We are in a world now where governments and corporations and celebrities are largely just about pleasing people, doing what people want them to do, saying things that people want them to hear. And I think because of that, you can't really know whether the person getting up in front of the microphone really believes what they're saying in their heart. The church is different. The church is concerned with questions of what is true and right and good, even if they are unfashionable. And so if you want to explore that with us, then I don't think there's a better place to do it than the church. But if you found your convictions, then I think the next step is to establish traditions based on those convictions. Remember that convictions are caught more than they are taught. People will see your convictions in what you do all the time. They'll see it in what you never compromise on the times when you sacrifice other things for the sake of your convictions. And so as a father, as a man, as a leader, figure out how you're going to express those convictions, the things you will do together as a family. And do not worry if the world around you doesn't do the same thing. In fact, that might actually be a good thing, because the traditions that people notice, the convictions that people notice, are the ones that are different from the world. And so if you have convictions, then establish traditions based on those convictions and pass them on. Now, you might have noticed that I haven't done very much talking about women having convictions in this talk. And just to be clear, there's no intention to be sexist there. Everything that I've said about convictions applies just as much to women as it does to men. But this is Father's Day, so I thought I'd especially address the fathers or those who will one day become fathers. I think also it's important to note that it's entirely possible that some of us have grown up in families where our fathers did not have a lot of convictions, or perhaps they were convicted about wrong things, maybe evil things, or we just didn't get to see our father's convictions as well. And if that's you, then I want to say that I'm sorry that's been your experience of fathers. But I also hope that this talk has maybe helped you to explain why we feel so betrayed when our fathers don't live up to even the basic standards of what a father should be like. Maybe as well it helps us to explain why there might be something missing in our lives if we didn't kind of see a lot of our fathers as well. And at least a part of the reason why is because we haven't gotten convictions from the places where we should. And I hope maybe it encourages you not to follow in those footsteps. But in general, I hope and pray that the men of our church will be men of conviction, men who have deep and confident beliefs about what is good, and men who pass them on to the next generation, so that their children, or maybe even just kind of people younger than them, people who've observed them, not necessarily their children, but people will be able to say, look, my dad or that guy, they always did this. And I never thought about that until now, but maybe that's why I value this in my own life. And if they think that, well, that's because your convictions and traditions have worked on them at an unconscious level, which is what they often do. It is easy for people to say, you don't have to. Men of conviction will see the problem with that. Men of conviction, when they hear the words, you don't have to, they will think, of course I don't have to, but I will. Because I am not driven by what I have to do. I am driven by what I believe is true and right and good. I am driven by my convictions. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your example in as a Heavenly Father passing on convictions and traditions to your people Israel that we see in the Old Testament. We also thank you that we see that in your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who passed on his convictions to us. And so, Lord, I want to pray for the men of our church now. I want to pray that they will be men of conviction, people who have deep beliefs about what is true and right and good and who get them from you. And I pray that they may pass this on to the next generation, that the next generation may see by the way that our men do things, by their habits, by the things that they do with their families, by the things that they insist on. I pray that they may, that the next generation may be able to get those convictions as well. I pray that the convictions of the gospel, of living out the Christian life and of following Jesus, of being saved by the cross and shaped by the cross, will be passed on. And Lord, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.